If you're in a messy, disorganized room right now, don't despair. Joining me on today's edition of our Friday series, Please Explain, is one of the country's most highly regarded professional organizers. She whips giant corporations into shape, and she may even be able to help you. Julie Morgenstern has also written several books on the subject, including Organizing from the Inside Out, The Foolproof System for Organizing Your Home, Your Office, and Your Life. And I'm very pleased to welcome her to our show today. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well. Many of us feel we want to get organized mm-hmm. to put all of our things into some kind of usable order, but just can't seem to do it. Are there psychological reasons for that?
Oh, yes, definitely.
I'm speaking from personal experience, by the way.
Yes. I think that for many people, as much as they crave order, there's something about the chaos that's a little bit more comfortable. And sometimes people are sort of what I call a conquistador of chaos. They are so good in a crisis when their adrenaline is pumping that they basically keep themselves in chaos at all times because they can keep rescuing themselves from it. And then, you know, they keep setting up systems and knocking them down and setting them up and knocking them down. It's one example.
What does that tell us about the opposite types, those people who live in monk-like cells who have everything in their proper place?
Well,
they don't thrive in crisis?
Yes, not necessarily, that they thrive in a calmer environment where they're not, you know, under so much pressure. But, you know, the thing is, you can be organized enough. I think there are people who spend all their time putting things away and labeling and not living life, which is not any good. And there are also people who are so disorganized that they don't get to live life because they can never find their keys or their wallet or their gloves.
And so some of those people, the ones who are, have messes, are afraid of inhibiting their creativity by mm-hmm. spending too much time being organized.
Yes, that's right. That there's a fear of, for some very creative right brain people, they're, you know, they're so good at the last minute that they're really afraid that if they put too much structure or too many boundaries or too many restrictions and it's too orderly, it's going to squelch their creativity.
But isn't even the idea of organized different for different people?
It is. I think, you know, organizing really has nothing to do with the way a space looks. I think it has to do with how a space functions. So there are people who live or work in what looks like a huge mess, but if you ask them for any piece of information, they can get their hands on it in 2 seconds. Those people are organized. They're messy, but they're organized.
But everybody else makes fun of them.
They make fun of them, but, you know, as long as you can find what you need when you need it and you're comfortable in your space, you're organized. There are people, and I've worked with them, whose homes or offices are neat as a pin on the surface. There is no clutter, no piles, you know, one beautiful piece of art in the middle of a long, empty counter. But you look inside those drawers and you look inside the closets and it's utter chaos. They just shove all the mess out of the way and present neat, but they're not organized. So, you know, I reiterate that it's really about how a space functions. If it works for you, can you do what you need to do and are you comfortable in your space? Find what you need to get things done. You're organized. I really believe that.
So this is really about our individual personalities.
Totally.
Because I am the one with the clutter on the outside, but my socks are always in the sock drawer. My underwear is always in the underwear drawer.
Right.
My shirts are all together in the closet, and my jackets and trousers are in another part of the closet.
Right.
I always know where my ties are.
You don't know where your ties
I do.
Are.
Oh, no, oh, they're all.
Yeah. And
I'm organized that much because that's important to me, I think.
Right. And some people, everybody is organized someplace, but not necessarily in others. So it sounds like you're really organized with your stuff. But maybe not your papers.
Yeah, and the papers are the big problem because then when you have to pay the bills and you can't find that Con Ed bill, it becomes a real problem.
Yes, it can be expensive and maddening. Right.
So this is really a matter of sometimes when you create problems for yourself, working against type?
Well, you know, I think when people try to organize themselves, they make a very common mistake of trying to change their natural habit and say, you know what, when I come in and I dump all of the mail all over the kitchen countertop, I have to stop that. I have this beautiful home office up the hall, and that's where I should do it. And you try to force yourself to change your habit, and I don't believe that that works. I think in order to get organized from what I call the inside out, which is something that's natural and easy to maintain, you want to look to where the piles are and create storage there. So if you have papers on your kitchen counter, that's where you want to do your paperwork, not in, you know, the guest room, beautiful home office that you spent a fortune on. just give up that, you know, turn it back into a guest room and create file storage in your kitchen.
Well, it's usually wherever I am. So, you know, if I'm on the bed, then all the papers are on the bed. If I'm sitting on the couch, then all the papers are at the couch.
But do you carry the same papers from place to place, or do you do one kind of paperwork in the bedroom?
Yeah, no,
and
it's,
one?
It's whatever is happening.
So you need a portable system is what you need.
And then you say that some people, the people who can't always put their clothes on hangers, mm-hmm. should find another way of doing it. Put them on a rack or
you
something
You can put
else.
Them on a rack, or you can put a series of hooks on the back of a door, or, you know, a couple of coat racks and organize that way. And the other thing you can do is really motivate yourself to put things away by, first of all, getting very beautiful hangers and making it aesthetically pleasing, and that really motivates you. A lot of times people think it's kind of a waste to invest too much money in the containers or the hangers or the bins or the baskets because who's going to see it but them?
But let's go to the very beginning of all of this. Mm-hmm. Okay. Somebody feels it's out of control. Mm-hmm. Where does that person begin?
Okay. First of all, I think you have to, you cannot organize your entire house, your entire office all at once. So you should choose the room that you spend the most time in and start there, which is very counterintuitive. Most people start in a space that they spend the least time in because they feel that they're going to be able to make the decisions quickly and fast in the guest room or in an old closet or in the garage or basement. So you want to start in the room you spend the most time in. And you really want to, before you dive into the clutter and start throwing things out, you need to sort of step back and what I call analyze and strategize before you attack.
Julie, we need to announce this right now. Reuters is reporting that there's word from the Vatican that Pope John Paul has died. Stay tuned to WNYC. We will have extended coverage as more information becomes available. Right now, we're going back to my guest on Please Explain, Julie Morgenstern, who's written any number of books about organizing. The one, I guess, that we're drawing from is Organizing from the Inside Out, the foolproof system for organizing your home, your office, and your life. Mm-hmm. But you've done things addressed to
the workplace. I have a new book out called Making Work Work, which are strategies for getting very rapid control over a quickly changing workplace where people feel very out of control. Book on time management.
Also one for teens.
And, yes, Teenager's Guide to Getting Organized and Managing Your Time.
I'm sure that when parents give that to kids, they go, oops, and toss it somewhere.
No, you know, kids today have more interest in being organized than I think. You know, my generation, we were like, forget about it. But kids today have so many pressures, and they're really trying to do so much that they crave organization.
You say you should attack the visible clutter first and don't get distracted. It's the distractions that prevent me from ever getting anything done because there are so many things that are drawing my attention
right.
away from what I'm trying to do.
Right. Well, first of all, you want to, when you're going to organize, you want to just focus on that space, right? And so you don't want to, if you find something, if you decide you're going to organize your desktop and you find a book and you bring it over to your bookcase to put it away and you stop and you go, oh, this bookcase is a mess. I need to reorganize it.
You've been filming my house.
There you go. So then you start with the bookcase and then you find some bills and then you go back over to the file drawer and you're like, I've got to organize these files. And that's what I call zigzag organizing. And it's basically you start a million and one organizing projects. You make a worse mess than when you started and you finish nothing. And it is so discouraging. So you need to really pick a spot and stick to it. And if you find things that belong elsewhere, you know what? Get a little box or a bin, call it Belongs Elsewhere, and just dump them in there. And at the end of your organizing session, you can go and bring them where they belong.
To be taken care of later.
Yes.
Is that what you call the kindergarten model?
The kindergarten model is what I used on the strategize phase. So once you've sort of analyzed what's working and what's not about your current space, you need to plan what it's going to look like when you're done. Because without a vision of a finished space, you're going to get lost about 3 hours into the piles, right? You're just going to lose your way. So you have to be able to visualize what your space should look like. And I organize everything based on a kindergarten classroom. Because if you think about a kindergarten classroom, it's divided into very distinct activity zones, like a reading area and a music corner and a, you know, building block section. And everything you need to do each of those activities is stored right at its point of use, which is very different than the way we store things. We store things where they fit rather than where they're used. So this kindergarten model will really help you, and you should look at a space and ask yourself, what are the activities that take place in this room? you know, in your living room, there could be a reading corner, and there could be sort of an entertainment area, and maybe there's a place if you have a family, you know, board games and puzzles, and you can rearrange your space to have these distinct activity zones, and it makes it much easier to find things and put them away.
And then somebody comes in your house and says, I believe in feng shui, and you've done it totally wrong, and you're ruining your life.
I will tell you something. I have worked with feng shui people, and we start at opposite ends and always land in the same spot because feng shui is so much about flow and function. And truly designing an organized space is about flow and function. How do I operate in this space, and where do I put things so that, and you know what? Our natural tendency is exactly where it belongs. It's that we're not really tuning into our natural habit and just sort of shoving filing cabinets anywhere they fit.
How does somebody become an organization specialist?
I mean, I personally actually was a notoriously disorganized person, you know, for most of my youth, and struggled with it myself, kind of had a big breakthrough when my daughter was born, and I realized that if I didn't get my act together, she'd never make it to kindergarten. So I started.
Or you'd have no time with her because you were spending all the time straightening up.
And so, you know, yes, I tried to. She was like 3 weeks old and woke up from a nap. And I thought, oh, this is a great opportunity to take her for a walk. And it took me 2.5 hours to gather this stuff to just, you know, get her out. And she'd fallen back asleep. So that was kind of the beginning. And then I, you know, kind of organized my own life. And then I started the business. And I think organizers come from a very wide variety of backgrounds. I think the key to a good organizer is somebody who's a very creative problem solver, who can really look at the way somebody operates and their unique point of view and their unique way of associating and design a system around that person.
I remember this old cartoon by Herb Gardner of these two guys sitting with their feet up and this mess all around them, and the caption was, "Tomorrow we have to get organized." Everybody recognizes you got to get organized, but are there real compelling reasons other than you can't find the keys every day?
I mean, you think about organizing is really, to me, being organized is about being ready. It's knowing where all your stuff is so that if the phone rings with an opportunity, if you're in business and the phone rings and a customer who you've been courting for a while says, you know what, I'm ready to make the deal, you can actually find the file, know what the price was that you quoted, and close the deal. It's about, you know, in your personal life, somebody calls and says, you know what, I feel like stopping by for a cup of tea or a visit. You can say, sure, come on in.
See
you at Starbucks. Right, exactly. So, you know, and when there are crises or opportunities that you're really ready to move, you feel on top of your game. I think it boosts your confidence when you're organized. I think that there's a tremendous amount of time savings. And actually stress. I think it reduces stress.
But a lot of people are worried about being the Mary Hartman type person. Remember Mary Hartman?
I do. Was she like hyper-organized?
Oh, she worried about whether there was wax buildup.
Oh, yeah. And you know, there's something in the middle. There really is something in the middle.
Do you get calls from distressed spouses or colleagues who want to help someone?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot. I mean, I've been called in to save a few marriages and jobs. I think the thing is you have to recognize that no one is going to get organized for you, to please you or to make you feel more comfortable. People will get organized when the clutter is costing them something that is precious to them and when they see something on the other side of the clutter that they desperately want. So you need to, if you live or work with a disorganized person, you have to find out what the clutter is costing them, time, money, stress, relationship, and help. And then that's really what you have to build from.
You group the causes of clutter into categories.
Right. I think, basically, I think people think they're disorganized because they're lazy, and I don't think that that's the case. I think sometimes there are psychological obstacles where we talked a little bit about that, where you crave order, but there's something comfortable about the chaos. There are technical errors that people make in the way.
Will psychoanalysis help? Is that a neurotic thing?
I don't know that it's a neurotic thing. I think, you know, if you have like a need for abundance, that's another very common psychological obstacle to getting organized. I want to get organized, but I like being surrounded by a lot of stuff. It makes me feel comfortable.
And I may need this somewhere down the line. And then there are those people who say, you know, I threw those things away because I felt I had to be neat, and now I really need them. Or they're worth $10,000.
But, you know,
my mother threw away all my comic books to be organized.
Right. But organizing is not about throwing things out. Organizing is about identifying what's important to you and giving yourself access to it. I genuinely believe that you can get organized without getting rid of a thing. And very often, I work with clients in that way, which is just like, you keep everything that's important to you. You can keep everything that you love. And what we're going to do is organize it so you can find it when you need it. That's the first step.
Some people actually have an inability to throw anything away, and it can be part of an obsessive-compulsive disorder, for example. Mm-hmm. Is there a clear line that divides those who need help from a professional organizer and those who should consult a doctor?
You know, we've worked with a lot of different clients over the years, and those who have told us that they've been diagnosed with ADD or OCD, and there is a difference between those and people who are just, it's tough to get rid of stuff. There's sentimental attachments and so on. I mean, I worked with one client who was diagnosed with OCD, and she really wanted to get organized, and she had a driving need to, like, change her life. But we basically she had to touch each thing that she was throwing out 3 times before it left the door. So first we gathered, separated the things she thought she would get rid of. Then we put everything into the trash bags. And then she would go through it one more time before. And you know what? It took us longer to do it, but she did it. So even if you have those conditions, if you have a compelling reason and the determination, you just have to change the process but not the result.
We're going to take a little break. And when we come back, take some calls. Our number here is 212-267-WNYC. I suspect there are an awful lot of people out there who have organization problems at home, at the office, and maybe just everywhere they are. My guest is Julie Morgenstern, author of any number of books on the subject, Organizing from the Inside Out, the foolproof system for organizing your home, your office, and your life is one of them. Again, 212-267-9692. We'll be back right after this. There are conflicting but unconfirmed reports regarding the Pope's health. WNYC is watching the situation very closely and will provide you with complete information as it envelops, as it develops. And if the Pope's condition is confirmed, we will go to special coverage. But right now we're talking to Julie Morgenstern about getting organized on Please Explain, and taking your calls at 212-267-9692. Before we get to those calls, just one more thing. How important are those color-coded files and getting just the right storage container and that sort of thing?
I do think that there's a value to color in a filing system, because I think there's nothing more boring than filing and putting papers away, and you really want to speed both the filing process and retrieval. And if you color code simply, I'm not talking about 22 different colors, but if you divide your filing system into 3 to 5 categories, broad categories, never more than 5, by the way, because we can't, as intelligent as we are, we're too distracted to recall a system that exceeds 5 colors. And so if financial papers are in green, and, you know, fun lifestyle stuff is in yellow, and, you know, boring vital document stuff is in blue, it really reduces misfiling. It really makes your files sort of pop, and it makes it much more compelling to put things away. And I would actually say colored folders rather than, you know, like manila folders with a little white label with a little colored strip. You want to really bring your files to life, because, to be honest with you, I think people think of filing as a place to put things away, but it's really for retrieval. So you want to think of filing for retrieval rather than storage, and I think it helps.
I'm much more simple. I just put everything that I want to deal with in a pile,
right,
and hope that I get back to that pile. And sometimes I don't. I find papers that no longer apply because they were invitations to things that happened last week. And my response is, well, if it was all that important, I would have made the call. And right. since it wasn't, it stayed in this pile, then I shouldn't have gone there anyway.
Which is fine. I mean, it sounds like that works for you. You know, it's sort of
sometimes,
a process
once in a while, people say, why didn't you ever get back to me?
Yeah, I mean, it can feel rude to people. And there are solutions to that. I mean, there are things you could do.
Let's take some calls. Carolyn from Brooklyn. Hi, you're on the Leonard Lopate Show.
Oh, how lucky am I? I mean, you're talking about the subject that has consumed my life, actually, until I found order. And what I always felt, even when I woke this morning, I wish someone would come in and either reinforce or show me a better way, because it is working. You would reinforce that you do find a way that works for you and that you can function, but it's a priority, because without order, it kicks up this chaos of having grown up in a very large family with absent caretakers and no one to teach me order, being the oldest of six, mm-hmm. and it was utter chaos. And now I teach small children, and when they come into my room, you know, third graders are so, like, all over the place. It's like I have to take a breath and try to find my order with them, because chaos kicks it up.
So that's what happened with you.
Working with it.
Carolyn, what happened with you is that you were forced to learn to
be organized. Forced to learn, a real survival. At great loss, great pain, being labeled, being abandoned as a result of being labeled as disorganized all over the road.
I would just add to that for any parents who are listening, I really think it's a mistake to ever call your child disorganized. You should never say, oh, you're so disorganized, or you're so messy. Because even kids, where it really counts, they're very organized. You can see a kid whose room is a mess, but if you go and you look at, you know, their phone numbers of their friends, or, you know, my daughter, when she was growing up, her room was messy, but she was a dancer, and she was like a social butterfly, and she had color-coded post-its of her three circles of friends on the wall, and her dance gear was always in order, and a kid who plays soccer will always have his soccer gear in order. So it's important. The labeling can hurt.
I have a friend who found herself swamped with a lot of paperwork because of medical bills, mm-hmm. and she couldn't handle them all, and she, even though she didn't have a lot of money, she hired somebody to help her get organized. And this person comes in and does it all. And then things get addressed. Telephone calls are made.
Right.
Sometimes people can't do it by themselves.
Yeah, you just, you know, somebody coming from the outside has no emotional relationship to the mess. There's no judgment. It's just, okay, what is this? They can sort and categorize much more objectively and can really pace you through the project so you don't get stuck in self-flagellation or, you know, being stumped by a small decision.
Clara from Manhattan. Hi, you're on New York Public Radio.
Hi, I'm a very organized person. And actually, my question is, how do I know if I'm over-organizing? Because I kept, you know, I'm keeping bills that are like 3 years old. And, you know, it's a gigantic pile. I also have a problem throwing away clothes and shoes and everything. How do I know? I mean, I know that I'm over organizing, but I, you know, don't know the extent, and, you know, how should I deal with it?
Well, to me, please let me break that up a little bit. In listening to this, saving old clothes is really, that's a psychological thing. But sometimes you have to save old bills, don't you? How long do you have to keep them? Because the IRS will audit you within a certain number of years.
You really should hold on for 6 years. Some people will say three. Accountants will tell you six. And actually, you should always check with your accountant, because if you did anything complicated prior to those 6 years, you should also sometimes keep records. But typically, it's 6 years back. And that's for things that are tax-related. You don't need to keep your electric bill for 6 years. You might want to keep last year just for reference and the current year. And then at the end of this year, you throw out last year and this year, you know. And
you might want to call a Con Ed and say, you know, last year at this time, I was spending $150 a month, and now you're charging me $500, and I haven't done anything different.
Right. And the nice thing is, a lot of the utility companies in particular have all those records online now, so you actually don't even need to keep them once you've paid them.
But the clothing, this is...
The clothing, and it's interesting because you say over-organized. I'm not sure what you mean by that, because it sounds like you're hanging on to a lot of stuff. If you can find it, I guess that's important. Clothes, I mean, my theory about clothes is, you know, if it doesn't, a lot of people have clothes in multiple sizes. that they keep because, you know, the weight goes up and down and up and down and up and down. If you haven't fit into a size in 3 years or 4 years, I would get rid of it and just, you know, make room for the new.
Okay, Clara?
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Thank you. Marco from Wyckoff.
Yeah, it's Mark. Mark.
Mark from...
I
made you much more exotic, Mark.
Well, I was just, this is just more or less a comment. I was going through some of my Battle of Britain books and read that Lord Beaverbrook, who was in charge of aircraft production during the Battle of Britain for the RAF, mm-hmm. had a sign in his office hung up above behind his desk that said, "Organization," of course spelled with an S, "is the enemy of improvisation."
Mm.
And I was going to recreate that sign and put it up behind my desk in my office, except I couldn't get organized enough.
You know, I mean, that's that, Mark, that's that fear of losing your creativity kind of thing. And I have to tell you, my background is the theater, and I was a very right-brain creative person, you know, lived out of piles and spent half my day looking for things. And my biggest fear about getting organized was that it was going to squelch my creativity. And I personally, and I just did the leap of faith because I had to take care of my kid. You know, I was like, okay, so I'll be boring, but my child will, you know, have a decent life. And I have learned that my creativity is fueled now by being organized because all the ideas that keep coming to me, I can now find what I need to implement those ideas. So it really is not quite, you can be more spontaneous and more creative if you have an idea and you can find the object to sort of implement it.
Thank you for calling us, Mark.
You're
Stephanie from New York, you're on the air.
Hi. I was wondering what suggestions you had to sort of help someone get motivated mm-hmm. to start getting organized. One of my problems, also, and I don't really know how to use my space in the best way, mm-hmm. so then it makes it hard for me to get organized. So I end up doing, like, throwing all my clothes on a chair in the corner and, you know, stuff like that. And knowing that I feel better when things are organized, but I can't actually figure out that it's the first step to do it and where.
And then when you throw your clothes on the chair, of course, then they need ironing, and you say, gee, if I just hung them up, I wouldn't have to waste all this extra time.
Right.
But what happens when I put them on the chair sometimes is they fall together in different ways than I would have thought putting outfits together. That I don't know. So sometimes that helps me come up with ideas of how to put my outfits together.
Well, that's the theory of Lord Beaverbrook, right? You know, I'm going to give you two things because you're kind of asking two different questions. One is, how do you motivate yourself? And I really think you have to focus on the payoff. You know, why do you want to get organized? How is your life going to be different? What are you going to be able to do if you are more organized? You're going to get, you know, have more time for, you know, friendship or more time at work or build a better reputation? Or what is it that the payoff is? So I'd start with that for the motivation because you have to really find that compelling reason. And as far as the space, you know, you can think about that kindergarten model and really ask, what are the activity zones of my space? And you can move things into their activity zone and then organize within them. The other thing that we did not get a chance to talk about is my little space formula, which is a very methodical way of going through the piles, and this may help you. And if you think of the word space, S-P-A-C-E, each one of those letters actually describes the step in the process in the order. So the first thing you want to do is kind of sort all the stuff into like categories. Just sort and see what you've got. The second step is to purge. Once you've got it categorized, it's much easier to say, you know what, I have 17 pairs of nearly identical black slacks. I don't need them all. So you can purge after you've sorted. It's much easier. And then you're down to just what you're keeping. A is for assign a home. Okay, where is this going to live? Which shelf, which drawer, which part of the closet? C is the containerized section, right? And which is almost at the end of getting organized rather than the beginning. And as you're putting things away, you'll go, you know what? I could use some baskets or bins or hangers. And then E, the last step, is equalize. And that's really about maintaining your system, which is just, you know, spending a few minutes every day to put everything back where it belongs.
And then the next step is to create more messes, whole new messes. Thank you so much for calling us. I hope that helps, Stephanie.
Yeah, thank you. The other question about the motivation is sometimes it's overwhelming to know where to begin. So how do you even get to the point where you begin the space, you know, step-by-step thing?
Well, Well, you need to pick this, the one area, one room that you're going to organize. And as a, you know, you want to pick the space, the room that you spend the most time in. And you're going to analyze it first. You're going to sit there and say what works and what doesn't about this space and why you want to get organized and what are the objects you're always looking for, what are the problems. So you analyze. Second step is strategize. You figure out your kindergarten zones. And the third step is to attack, and that's that space formula. But pick just one area. Don't try to organize your whole house at once.
Thank you so much for calling us. Kalima from Manhattan. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. My question is how to avoid getting to the point of clutter, and especially with paperwork, when I feel like I've got a space for everything, but I find that it gets just stacked up and cluttered really quickly, within a week.
Mm-hmm. You know, paper piles are very often more a time management issue than an organization issue. Probably what's going on is in those stacks of paper are things that need to be done, phone calls that need to be made, forms that need to be filled out, things that need to be ordered, letters that need to be written, invitations that need to be responded to. And so what really is causing the pileup is that you're not setting aside the time to process the tasks that those papers represent. If you actually have a place for everything, that would be my guess, that it's really time management. You need to really schedule time. You can't just look at your mail and see what's interesting and put it down and hope for, you know, you'll do it when you feel like it. Nobody ever feels like doing their paperwork. You kind of have to bite the bullet and schedule the appropriate amount of time, sit down and actually process it and get the task done. Does that make sense?
It does. Yeah. I think I've been scheduling insufficient amounts of time for that.
Right.
Especially paying bills, which is an unpleasant experience to begin with.
Right, right.
So it's strangely enough that I don't have a problem with paying the bills. Mm-hmm. It's handling the things that don't have a definite, such a concise, definite solution.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Paying a bill, it's just writing a check. That's very easy.
Right. So it's kind of decision-making that gets postponed there. I don't know if I want to, do I want to go to this concert or not? Do I want to make a donation to this organization or not?
Yeah.
Do I want to order this or not? You know, my feeling about that stuff is, if you're really not sure, throw it in the shredder because they're going to send you another offer in about 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'll give you another opportunity. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for calling us.
Thank you.
Will from McElroy, New York. Is that right?
It's Will McElroy from
New York. From Will McElroy from New York. Oh, well, what the heck.
Yeah, I like the name, have a city named after me. But
I assume there's always a city named after everything but Lopate.
Yeah, probably. I guess my question, first is, thanks for having me on the show. I have a question with depression. And cleaning up, it's like with me, it takes me like 3 days to get up, the energy to actually clean up, and then I'm ready to attack it. And it's like inexplicably, it's like after 10 minutes, something inside of me just takes a nosedive. I don't know why, and suddenly it's cleaning up gets so hard, it's like I'm cleaning up with a boulder on my back.
Yeah.
Which also will lead to the other part is that I've noticed at times where I've successfully cleaned up, which has been very few, I feel like, and I can say this because I'm on the radio, because no one sees me, so I feel like incredibly lonely when everything's out of the way.
Yep, I know exactly what you're, that's that kind of need for abundance that I was talking about, that it feels better to be surrounded by a lot of stuff. It's some comfort in it. A lot of people feel that way. And so if it feels better to kind of be surrounded by a lot of stuff, then the goal is not when you get organized to throw things out. It's really to kind of identify what's important to you and group things and give yourself access to them. That's one thing. And the other thing is that I think sometimes disorganization and clutter is kind of feels a need to retreat or be distracted. So if you always have a pile to sort and a mess to clean out, it really occupies you and disengages you from doing anything else in life. So sometimes you need to kind of ask yourself, well, why don't I want to go out there and do things, you know, and fear of success or fear of failure or all that kind of stuff can really come into play. And the clutter becomes a very convenient distraction. So those are just a couple of things. And I think, you know, the clutter is probably not the issue here. The clutter is probably the distraction. And you want to kind of look at you know, why don't you want to have the freedom to get out there and do, maybe you're not sure what you want to do with your life. So maybe the first task is to figure out, if I didn't have this clutter, what would I be spending my time on?
Thank you so much for calling us, and thank you so much, Julie Morgenstern, for participating in Please Explain today. We've been trying to figure out how to get organized, and I hope it's been helpful to you as it has been to me.
Thank you so much for having me.